Okay, this is Dr. Richard Guarino, Chairman of the Board, calling this meeting to order at 10 a.m. Can I get a roll call, please?
Ms. Powell.
Present.
Dr. Knopf.
Dr. Knopf, you're muted.
Here.
Dr. Bennett.
Here.
Dr. Guarino.
I am here. Thank you. Do we have any new licensees that have attended in person? The boardroom?
No, no, sir.
Okay. Let's move to number one. Before we do that, I want to thank everybody for joining by Google Meeting. You know, we'll do this, and I assure everyone that we've read all the board meeting materials that were submitted. And board members, if we need to break into executive session, what will happen is Dr. Kolasch will call us individually at our cell phones. So if you have another phone number that you would like him to contact you at in the event that we need to go into executive session, then go ahead and text that to him, please. So let's go to tab number one, matter of Dr. Brendan Potter. And Ms. Shapiro, do you have a board briefing, or Dr. Kolasch?
Dr. Kolasch has all the briefings today. Ms. Dr. Guarino. Yes, Dr. Potter, are you on the line?
Yes.
Is your counsel, Mr. Mantovani, on the line?
Actually, this is Dina Anagnopoulos, and I'm present. I filed a letter of representation probably a couple months ago. Mr. Mantovani is no longer with our office.
Thank you. You're, yes, we wrote this board brief before that, and I failed to update it. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. Dr. Potter's their allegations are malpractice, danger to the health and safety and welfare of the public, and unprofessional conduct.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Anagnopoulos, are you licensed as a attorney in Arizona?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. So I'll give you the opportunity to make an opening statement then.
Okay, thank you. Actually, I would like to just give a brief statement about how this matter came about. What had happened was Dr. Potter was treating the patient back in 2017. On July 10th of 2017, she came in. The patient actually called in to Dr. Potter. She had been previously experiencing low back pain, called in and said that she had been in Mexico for a few days, and was asked Dr. Potter if she could come directly to the office because she was in so much pain. Dr. Potter had treated her for a few appointments prior to this, but unfortunately she had an exacerbation of her pain while she was in Mexico, and told Dr. Potter she was experiencing some pain, but it really exacerbated when she was walking on the beach. She was at the point where she couldn't even sit down in the car. She had to lay down in the car and went directly to Dr. Potter's office. Now, because she was in so much pain, she needed her husband to assist her to walk into the office. Due to her pain levels, Dr. Potter only provided passive treatment. He did nothing which could have potentially harmed the patient. She continued to be in pain and asked Dr. Potter to call an ambulance to transport her to the hospital where she had an MRI. The MRI showed, I believe it was small disc protrusions. However, she appeared at Dr. Potter's office about 6 months later asking Dr. Potter to pay for the ambulance bill. She then, when Dr. Potter reviewed the records to confirm what had happened and to review her prior treatment, realized this patient, he couldn't have done anything to harm the patient. She accused him of herniating her disc. And at that point, Dr. Potter realized that this had nothing to do with his treatment, declined to pay the ambulance bill. And at that time, the patient sent him a letter from her attorney threatening to sue him. Dr. Potter felt it was appropriate to notify the insurance company of this letter, which he did, and the insurance company then felt that they had to report this to the board. And that is how this whole issue came about. After that time, Dr. Potter decided to assist her in paying the ambulance bill out of his own pocket, and the patient withdrew her complaint with Dr. Potter and the insurance company. However, because this matter was already reported to the board notified us that they did in fact need to review it. However, it's important to note that Dr. Potter's treatment on July 10th, the patient was already in a significant amount of pain, and Dr. Potter's treatment was very passive. In fact, the only thing that he did at that point was SOT, the sacral occipital technique, and electrical stimulation. So I think it's important to note how this information, how this complaint came about, that the patient never actually filed a board complaint. This was never a lawsuit. She just sent him a letter asking him to pay for the ambulance bill, or else she threatened to sue him. So that's the only statement that I feel is important to provide to the board right now, and I'm sure the board will have some additional questions for Dr. Potter.
All right, thank you. This is Dr. Guarino, and is Dr. Bennett in the meeting?
Dr. Guarino, this is Dr. Bennett. I lost my internet connection and have rejoined telephonically while I reestablish it.
Okay, great. Okay, so board members, normally we follow Robert's Rules of Orders, and because the meeting is recorded, we need to speak one at a time, of course. Feel free to call out if you've got a question or something to say. I'll do my best to take a look at your picture. If you raise a hand and you want to speak, of course I'll call on you, excluding Dr. Bennett because I can't see him right now. But he's here telephonically, so feel free to interrupt as needed. So at this point, board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Potter or his counsel?
Yes, Dr. Guarino, this is Dr. Bennett. And please forgive me for the technical snafus. Of course, part of our job is to review the record keeping associated with any of these complaints, and I do have some questions specifically with regard to some entries. Dr. Potter, can you tell me who Stephanie Pratt is?
So, Stephanie was a CA in our office.
All right, and she is a licensed CA, or was at the time of this event?
Yes.
Okay, was she involved in the patient's care?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of other questions. I'm looking at your financial worksheet, and I would like you to clarify. I see a kind of a big difference between what is labeled as a cash and then what is fee schedule. And I'd just like to help you summarize how your billing system works there. I'm a little concerned about that.
Looking for the page.
Dr. Bennett, this is Dr. Guarino. Is there a page number in our board meeting materials? I'm looking at pages 1 to 45 of the patient records.
Yes, that's the document. I'm scanning through it now. I was reading from my notes. A lot of,
billing notes, this doctor, billing notes started around 2845.
Thank you.
Yes, it's page 30 of 45.
Okay.
Stephanie, is it the one that says financial worksheet?
Yes. And I see that in the header, column header in the middle, it says cash / fee schedule. What does that mean?
So the cash price is what we charge if someone comes in for cash. The fee schedule is, I believe, she had insurance, and that was being a provider through her insurance, that was their fee schedule pricing for all those services.
Okay. And what is the, is that the number of visits in the first column, 25?
Uh-huh.
So this was a treatment plan that you recommended 25 visits, and this was a worksheet on what the fees and the costs would be?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you also have a lot of information in here that you provide for us relative to some documents associated with DME. Are you, is it my understanding that a number of lumbosacral orthoses and conductive garments and so forth were prescribed for this patient?
I had prescribed a TENS unit, lumbosacral brace, and a thoracic brace, and a conductive garment. I used to do DME equipment. I don't work with the company anymore. I don't prescribe anymore.
Okay, I understand. It could get rather complex, can't it? So my question here is this. I don't see any billing information associated with, I mean, we're talking about a significant amount of, the billings for these, each one of these DMEs items is significant. Why was there no billing information included with that, with those particular prescriptions?
As far as I had a company that I was working with, and they would do all of their billing. But I don't know.
Okay, were you compensated in any way for the DME side of your prescription of the DME and fitting of the patient and going over the rules of DME with the patient and so forth?
Yes.
Okay. And so that would be part of the financial relationship that you have with the patient, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So probably if we ask you for billing information, you should have included that. Would you not agree?
Sure.
Okay. Did you use any kind of outcome assessments relative to this patient? Any visual analog pain scales or functional outcome assessments?
I don't see any in the notes. I don't know if at the time we did.
Okay. All right. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions.
Thank you, Dr. Bennett. Board members, any other questions?
This is Dr. Powell. Did we have anyone signed in, a patient signed in at all?
No one is present in the conference.
And I did want to note for the board, the patient did submit a letter indicating that she was not filing the complaint or she was withdrawing her, let me see if I can find it, I apologize.
We do have that information that the patient is no longer pursuing this, but now that we have the records in front of us, we still need to make a decision if we're going to pursue this.
Correct. No, and I apologize. I just wanted to make the point that because the patient was withdrawing it, she most likely would not be involved in this hearing today.
Thank you. Okay, so board members, does anybody have any concern about the allegations of malpractice, danger to the health and safety, or unprofessional conduct above and beyond record keeping? And I would like any questions directed to Dr. Potter and his counsel before we make a decision. Investigation or take other action today.
I have no questions.
Thank you, Ms. Powell. Okay, so hearing none, it's our time to deliberate and decide what we're going to do. Dr. Bennett, did you want to make a, do you want to add an allegation for record keeping and request further billing information regarding the DME?
Yes, I do. I believe we have a record-keeping issue here, and the doctor just may need some correction. We want to, you know, probably provide that correction as part of this, so I think we should explore that as an option.
Okay, so I will entertain a motion if you would like to make one. Do you feel we have enough information to handle this with continuing education? Recommendations today, or would you like to make a motion to bring this back in another day and get the billing information?
I think that it's appropriate for us to get the billing information before we make any kind of, you know, presumptive conclusion here. And so to that degree, I would move that we move defer this to a later date and explore the options before us.
And Dr. Greeno, this is Mary Williams. Dr. Bennett, did you want to add an allegation related to record keeping and billing?
Dr. Bennett, you're muted right now.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I was able to reestablish, obviously. So my recommendation would be that we bring forward an allegation relating to the insufficiencies in record keeping.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, I'll call for the question. Those in favor of adding an allegation of insufficiency in the investigation to include submit further billing records getting to the durable medical equipment. Signified by
Dr. Marino, this is Dr. Kolash. Is the motion then to bring this back as a continuance of the initial review, or is this for a formal interview?
Are we able to issue a point of procedure, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Bennett? Are we able to issue a non-disciplinary order relative to requiring record-keeping correction prior to having a formal hearing?
We are. If we are able to do that today, or we can move this to formal interview where the doctor would be under oath. And that we still have all the same remedies of non-disciplinary intervention and or disciplinary intervention if appropriate.
I still feel as though it's inappropriate for us to, these records may be completely fine, but they're just not with us. We don't have them. So I'm not inclined to take any corrective action until we've confirmed that. So my recommendation is that we move it forward.
Okay, so we can do that under the same tab, under initial action or a continuance at this date, or if we move it to formal interview, we would have an option for disciplinary action if appropriate at that time.
I think that should be the option of formal
interview. Okay. So, Dr. Bennett, do you want to amend your motion to indicate you are moving this to a formal interview and adding the allegation as you stated?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and then does the second agree with that amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
I'm sorry,
this is Dr. Green. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay. Surprise. Moved it to formal interview. And Dr. Potter, you will have an opportunity to come back and for the board. If you have any further questions about the action taken today, you can call Dr. Kolash and our staff later today or tomorrow. So at this point, we're going to move on to tab number two, which is vacant. So we'll move to tab number three in the matter of Dr. Wesley Bowman.
Dr. Garino, this is Dave Morrison on behalf of Dr. Bowman. Can you hear me?
I can. Hi, Dr. Morrison, or Mr. Morrison.
And Dr. Bowman, are you on the line as well?
Yes.
Okay, look here.
And is the complainant on the line? Ms. Hertel, you're muted.
We're still unable to hear you. We can see you. And we're going to protect your identity by using initials only when we refer to you. But if you look at this screen, and if your picture, there should be a mute button that you can click or unclick if you hover your mouse over your picture. And we're still unable to hear you, so I don't know if you have a phone connected to your device. As an option to our patient, you can call in to the board and we can do it telephonically.
Also check your
settings on your phone. Have that number kind of wave at us, and Dr. Kolash can maybe call you.
Can you hear now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Great.
Oh, good. Okay. My husband got it fixed.
Okay. All right. So welcome to the meeting. Thank you for joining. Can I get a board briefing, please?
Yes, Dr. Bowman has allegations of sexual improprieties, dangers to the health and safety and welfare of the public, and unprofessional conduct.
Okay, Mr. Morrison, do you have anything that you would like to say?
Other than what we've already stated in our response to the board, which is you have no records in front of you because this was an alleged occurrence over 20 years ago. Dr. Bowman has no independent recollection of this patient and categorically denies that the incident occurred.
All right, this is Dr. Garino. And, I want to move us into executive session. I'm not sure quite how to do this and mute all of our devices, or maybe board members, you need to leave the room and kind of close yourself into a door, into a bedroom or something where your computer is not going to pick up whatever we're talking about to get counsel from our attorney.
Yes.
Definitely.
And Dr. Greeno, before, make sure you vote to go into executive session for legal advice.
And may I have a point of information? While we are in this executive session, if any of the board members may have an idea that they have something for an executive session in an additional agenda item, it might be efficient to bring that up during this same executive session, if that's okay, Mary.
That is fine. We can do that. It just has to be included in the vote. So whatever agenda item that you think you may need legal advice on, you would move to go in on those particular agenda items. Because once we're in there, you can only talk about the ones you've identified on the record.
Okay. All right. So what this means to everybody on the meeting is that we want you to stay where you are. We're going to do a side telephonic meeting, and then we'll be back in just a couple of minutes after we speak. So I'm making a motion to move into executive session. Is there a second?
Dr. Greeno, can you identify what the purpose is and on what agenda item, please?
For legal counsel on agenda item number three.
Okay.
This is Dr. Knopf. I'll second.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. So it's 9:24 a.m. and we are going to the executive session.
Dr. Guarino, this is Dr. Bennett. Are we using the telephonic access number that was provided to us on the agenda?
Dr. Polash is going to call us individually and confidentially.
So please, out of an abundance of caution, also mute your computers as you exit, board members.
We are back in regular session. Everybody's smiling faces again. Okay, so board members, let's go ahead and start with any questions for Dr. Bowman. Can everybody, Ms. Powell, can you hear? Are you muted?
I hear you, Dr. Greeno.
Okay.
Dr. Greeno, did we give the patients an opportunity to make a statement?
Not yet, but I want to, with Dr. Bowman, any questions for him, and then we can cross over.
Okay. Very well.
You can hear me now, right?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. And Dr. Bowman, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, so I have a question. Dr. Bowman, do you acknowledge that you have treated this patient, CB, despite alleging you don't have any records because they would have been destroyed by now?
No, we don't have any of those records. I apologize for the background noise. You're on my cell phone at home.
Okay. So my question is, does he have any memory of treating this patient, CB?
No, I don't remember anything about that.
Okay. So let's go ahead and move on over then to our patient, CB. Board members, do you have any questions for her? We've all seen the video and the other board materials. Do you have any questions for her?
And I apologize. What do you mean by video?
In our board meeting materials, there was a video. Did you not receive that?
I did not.
Dr. Kolash?
I don't know if there was a request of Jackie to send the entire board materials or not. I will make sure that Mr. Morrison has that immediately.
It's a lengthy video, which is an interview with the police, and so Mr. Morrison is going to need that if he's going to represent his client. So we may have to bring this back to another date. But before we do that, as long as we have the patient CB in front of us, again, I'm going to ask my board members, do you have any questions for her?
Dr. Greeno, this is Dr. Bennett. I do have one question. During the course of the interview, the video that we were just referring to, at about the 10-minute mark, I believe that I heard the patient make the statement that she had worked for the Dr. Bowman previously. Is that the case?
No, that's not the case. I had never worked for Dr. Bowman.
I think the statement was something like, he very rarely went outside the closing during adjustment, even when I worked with him.
I would have to go back and listen to that video. I did not ever work with him.
Okay, that's what I was trying to do.
Maybe I meant like working with him as a patient, like because I was going through a number. I had come to see him for some. I had been involved in a multiple rear end accidents. So when I say working with him, it could have been each appointment working with him and him trying to fix my spine.
I understand. That's entirely possible. I just needed to follow up on that.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
So this is Dr. Greeno. I would like to say to our patient, thank you so much for your testimony and for coming forward regarding this matter, which is we take very, very seriously. And there is no statute of limitations on anything sexually related when it goes to a doctor-patient relationship, as in your case. Thank you for your testimony and for everything that you submitted. Do you have anything that you would like to say to us at this point before we decide to take any action or inaction today?
I do have a couple things. One is that I do have some friends who had sent letters to me yesterday, if the board would find it helpful at all, of them being able to vouch for my character. And so if you feel that that is something that you would need, I am more than willing to send that information over. Also, just that I think it's understandable that Dr. Bowman wouldn't remember me so long ago. Sorry. But it doesn't mean that it didn't happen, or that it's not something that is, I believe that it's happened to other people as well. And it's not okay for him to use his license and his trust as a doctor, as a medical professional, to abuse me or other people.
Thank you. Are you aware that he has done anything like this to any other patients?
I don't know the extent of what he has done to all other patients. I do know that there was a complaint sent to you guys last April where he had touched another person inappropriately. I was able to find that complaint on your website. And I have talked to a number of other people who have told me that he did touch them inappropriately. And so, yes.
Okay. And so I'm just a little curious about the timing of when you filed your complaint. At that time, were you aware of any other board action that happened with him, or was that just the result of you decided to finally make the complaint that you did based on...
I did finally decide to make the complaint, and then actually just a few days later, maybe a week later, when I was on the chiropractic website again, I found that there was that public record of the complaint before.
Okay, thank you. Board members, any other questions for our patients? Okay, any other questions for Dr. Bowman or his attorney? Okay, so this is our time to deliberate and decide what we want to do in this matter. What's your pleasure?
Dr. Guarino, I do have a closing statement, or at least a final statement on behalf of Dr. Bowman.
Go ahead, Mr. Morrison.
I would just like to say that I realize that this is an administrative law setting, but it still is a fairly legal setting. And, you know, these allegations come extremely... We take them very seriously, but there's no evidence that they occurred. There's no supporting evidence that it occurred, and I would ask that the board take a look at evidence as well as allegations. Allegations are not proof that anything occurred.
Thank you, Mr. Morrison. Okay. So, board members, do you feel like there will be any value in continuing this interview on a later date, that more evidence might arise, or do you feel like this is a hearsay without evidence, two conflicting stories, and something that we will not be taking action on today? There is a pending investigation. If the police follow up and they take any action, it will of course come before us again if that is the case. So I will ask board members, does anybody want to make a motion to take any action at this time?
This is Dr. Knopf. I'll make a motion to dismiss, but after we have a second, I would just like to add some comments.
Okay, so we have a motion to dismiss. Is there a second? Okay, so there is no second, so the motion fails, which leads me to believe another board member might make a different motion.
Dr. Guarino, this is Dr. Bennett. I don't think it's appropriate to dismiss at this point in time. However, I agree with what Mr. Morrison has to say about needing evidence. At this time, we have the legal process working to determine the very evidence that we are absent at this time. And so I believe that we should revisit this after more information has been gathered by the appropriate authorities. At that point in time, I think that we can make a more informed decision. So I would move that we defer this, and I'm not sure, Dr. College, perhaps you can make a recommendation in terms of a time frame relative to this, or Ms. Williams.
So this is Dr. Kolash, and so it sounds like the motion is to table until the authorities make a determination on moving the case forward or dismissing the case.
Correct.
Is that good, Mary?
Can I ask a point of clarification?
Mr. Morrison.
Since I haven't seen the video, is there an ongoing criminal investigation? Are we positive that they're taking action to investigate?
That is
because otherwise you're pending it and it's indefinite.
Okay,
Dr. Gregory,
your point is taken. Dr. Bennett, what did you say?
Well, I just would point out on the video that Mr. Morrison doesn't have, the officer at 10 minutes and 8 seconds into the transcript states that it is their intent to go to trial.
Okay. So we have a motion. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Okay, now let's discuss. So, my past experience on the board over several years, there are some cases that you're on for years and years, and I don't think that is in the best interest of anybody here today. So I think that there should be some type of timely component that we revisit this in however many months, and also forwarding the video testimony to Mr. Morrison as well, so that they'll have information that they need. Those are just my comments. I don't agree that we should be at the whim of the police department, who may or may not ever conclude this matter. So maybe we put a time component on it.
So could we add a friendly amendment to that, Dr. Guarino, to suggest that in 6 months we revisit this?
Sounds great.
Yeah, I'm willing to modify my motion to that effect.
Okay. I'll go ahead and call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And just for clarification, the motion was to table for 6 months?
Correct.
The motion is to table it for
up to 6 months.
Get information sooner from the police department.
And that way,
got it.
That way Dave has a chance to review the video as well.
Okay. So we had four ayes. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion carries. So thank you for joining by video, and if you have any questions, go ahead and contact our executive director, Dr. Kolash, either later today or tomorrow. So, thank you. So we're going to go and move on to
tab
number four now. Tab number four is a matter of Dr. Von Moses.
Dr. Moses, are you on the line? Please unmute if you are and announce. Dr. Moses?
Hello?
There we go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now. Thank you.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Okay, let's start with the board briefing.
Yes, Dr. Moses was before the board a few months ago and was directed to provide a proof of his continuing education. The documentation submitted indicated that he was not eligible for this continuing education for the years 2016 and 2017, as indicated in your board materials.
Yes, yes.
So, Dr. Moses, we've received the information that you have given us, and it looks like you fell short in a couple of years in 2006, or one credit hours short, and in 2017 you were 3 hours short, and then in 2018 it looks like you had extra. So what do you have to say for yourself?
I think what happened is it's only 1 year short. If you look carefully, I don't have it in front of you. I did not make a copy of it and saved it. But I think what I've sent in, if you could remind me, please, in 2016, I think I took Greg Friedman's, right?
We have everything you submitted, and it adds up to 11 hours for 2015.
All I've noticed that I think the 2017, in 2017, I took two courses, one in January, finished it in January, and the other one I finished it in December. So the one that I finished in January of 2017 or 16 was supposed to be done in 2015. I don't have everything in front of me, but what happened is I took it in December, but got sick over the New Year's and wasn't able to finish it, and I did finish it in January. Although it doesn't make a difference, but I'm prepared to hear what you need to tell me and what I need to do to make it up. I'm very sorry. I think I did fall short. Yes, you're right. So.
Okay. Thank you. Board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Moses?
Yeah, just so I'm understanding this correctly, just based on the dates, it looks like we're one credit hour short in 2016, we're three short in 2017, and these were the classes that you started in December but didn't finish until January.
Those right.
Rolled. And in 2017, yeah, quite a surplus of continuing education units, and 18 was current.
2018 was compliant. 2016 and 17 were not compliant by the calendar dates. 2018 and 19 were okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, Dr. Moses, it's not your turn to talk. I want to know if my board members want to take any action at this point.
Okay.
So the total cumulative hours is just one, is that what we're saying?
It's missing one in 2016 and three in 2017.
Okay, so 4 hours.
So in the past, you know, we've done non-disciplinary advisory letters of concern for record keeping or for continuing education requirements, you know, and or required them to make them up somehow, but you can do whatever you like.
So I'll make a motion that the doctor issue a non-disciplinary letter and that he make up the 4 hours in either record keeping and documentation or another clinical. I'm open to suggestions.
Okay, and is there a time frame for when he needs to get that done by?
Yeah, within 6 months.
Okay, and that's independent of the coverage that he needs for 2020.
Yes, independent of
the coverage he needs
for 2020.
And Dr. Guarino, I'm sorry, Angela's was a little garbled. I'm not quite sure what the categories she was mentioning or if it was open to all categories.
Yeah, let's do a record keeping and documentation.
Record keeping and documentation. Okay, so we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any further discussion?
Dr. Greeno, can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Mary, sorry. Somehow I got muted on there. Just for clarification, so are you doing is the motion for an advisory letter for not complying with the CE and then a order for non-disciplinary continuing education?
Yes.
Okay. I couldn't hear you as well.
Okay. So we have two non-disciplinary actions there. We have a first and a second. Any further discussion?
Board members, this is staff member Jamie Shapiro. Who is the second on that, please?
Okay, got it. All right, those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, we have four ayes. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the ayes have it. And Dr. Moses, thank you for joining telephonically. And if you have any other questions, you can contact board staff and they will clarify what happened today.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to move on to tab number five, which is the matter of Dr. Jessica Hogg.
Thank you, sir.
Get a board briefing.
Dr. Hogg and
yeah.
Ms. On, is the complainant B8 on? Is D8 on and unmuted? Okay. Did I hear a D8? No. Allegations include breach of doctor patient confidentiality and unprofessional conduct. Dr. Hogg was previously before the board, and the question arose whether the portals for the insurance company would allow the doctor to enter the patient portal. And the information we got indicates that the patient portal is username and password protected. And so without that information, and no one else could enter that patient portal.
Okay, so I'm picking up a lot of noise, and I don't want to mute somebody who's about to speak. I've got a 623 number with the 74 at the tail end of that. I'm not sure who that is, but if you're not part of this tab, you should mute yourself. Okay. So is it Haug?
Haug, yes.
Okay. Are you represented by counsel?
I am not.
Okay. And then we don't have the patient DH online, or do we? Okay. I didn't think we did. Okay. Dr. Haug, what would you like to say as an opening statement?
I have an EOB from GEICO, from a completely different patient, that on the bottom of their EOB it says track your medical claims submitted to GEICO by enrolling in our online medical provider claim tracking website, and it gives a website. So I had personally gone in and created my own username and password unrelated to any particular patient, and it allows you to check claim status. You type in a claim number and information along those lines, and it will generate if there's a claim. If there's no claim, it'll say no claim or no medical claim pending or things along that line. It'll say who the patient is, who their attorney is, and things like that. So I didn't sign in under the patient. I don't have that information, nor would I do that. It was all created for me personally as a medical provider.
Okay. So
I can provide you with the website if that helps anything. Because it sounds like that the insurance company stated that I did something wrong by using the patient's side of signing in things.
Dr. Greeno?
Yes, Dr. Goash.
So if you misheard me, Dr. Haug, what the insurance, what GEICO provided was that the patient set up their own portal similarly to the way you did, and without that patient username and patient password, no one else could access the patient portal.
Correct. Okay, understood.
So, this is Dr. Guarino. So the question is, how did you get the information that you got to make a decision whether you were going to reduce your bill, not reduce your bill? Those things. Are you saying that you did not use the patient credentials to sign into GEICO?
Correct. It was my own credentials.
So your own credentials will allow you to log into anybody's participation?
It's not for them. It's for me. So as long as they're a patient of mine and they provide a claim number or a policy number, I can search for a claim if it is out there.
Okay.
And it's just for any particular patient.
So you have the name, policy, or claim number, one of those two, and you can log in and get their information.
That is according to the claim.
Okay. So
if it doesn't pertain to the claim, I don't have access to that.
Okay. So GEICO is not protecting the patient's privacy or their insured's privacy. Is that right?
Well, I believe they are. This is just to an avenue that providers can check the claim status of a motor vehicle accident. I think that's what the sole purpose of this portal is just to. These cases can be dragged on, and so periodically you can go on and just see if it's pending, if it's been closed and you haven't heard anything.
So that's all you can find out. You can't find out what they paid a patient, how much, or what. None of that information? Just if the claim...
Some of that information, if they inputted that in there, that is available to see.
But they would have to...
If they... Yes.
So is there anyone access to that information?
I have a point of information. The GEICO representative indicated that the only person who could input information like you were just talking about would be the adjuster. And so if the adjuster put it in the doctor portal, I guess there's no, that's not the doctor's fault. But typically the claims adjuster is putting that type of information in the patient portal. That's what we're told.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Bennett. I'm curious, is there any suggestion of the availability of, is a record kept of who is accessing this information at any given time? Do we know that at all?
That did not come up in our investigation. I would imagine GEICO would have some sort of record, but they didn't provide it to us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm aware, as I'm sure all of us who care for patients, that we do have provider portals, and that information is available to us on a fairly routine basis.
Settlement amounts are available and breakdowns.
I don't know. Sorry, I thought she was just talking about claims information pertaining to the... No, I'm not aware of a settlement amount availability at all. I wish that I did.
Okay.
I've got a question for the doctor. In the materials that were submitted, you had mentioned that this kind of information above, even just outside of the portal, is available should you request it in writing. Did you pursue that avenue?
I did send a fax to their attorney for an accounting breakdown on who accepted a reduction of their bills. I did not hear back from their attorney. Within 10 days, I received a check for payment in full. So I was open to the negotiation process to see if other people, other providers, attorney included, reduce their bills.
then I would take that into consideration and make a decision. Unfortunately, there was no further discussion from the attorney, and I just received the check.
Okay. So would you say that it's accurate that your testimony is the information that you accessed based on this claim would have only been through the provider portal? Is that correct? Or through this request to the attorney for the information that you didn't receive?
I guess that would be accurate.
Additionally, Dr. Kolash, we're saying that the patient portal, to be able to access that, you'd require the patient's username and password.
That's what we need
to that user.
Correct.
A question to the doctor, did you at any point have access to the patient's username or password for the patient portal?
No. Nope. None whatsoever.
This is Dr. Knopf. I have no further questions.
Okay. Would anybody like to make a motion at this point to...
Dr. Green, there are questions.
Go ahead.
Last time around when we first heard this complaint, there were concerns about some record-keeping issues, and I believe that we do have some pretty significant ones here, or apparently, and I'd like to explore that. Dr. Hoff, this patient presented to you, I believe, on April the 26th of 2017?
The 27th, I believe, is the 26th, correct, yep.
And at that time, they had reported injuries in a motor vehicle collision that included rib fractures, there'd been some drainage to edema in their hip, and so forth. And during the encounter, your records refer to an exam, but I found no examination.
That's correct. I did not send one. After the initial meeting, I had gone back and I reviewed my appointment book. This particular patient was an established patient, had called in according to the keys that we have in our appointment book, had called in that day and scheduled an appointment. They had come in, and by the time they were on the table and were chit-chatting and what's going on, what's new, they told me they were in a motor vehicle accident. And at that time, I know I need more time. I don't have the allowed time, because when you're an established patient, you get a smaller window of treatment time that's due if it's a new condition or a new patient. So I sent the paperwork with the patient to fill out, which he did, and emailed it back to me. So in terms of actually performing an exam, that was not done other than just taking a history.
Okay. And at what point you treated the patient for several months following that on a sort of irregular basis. And during the course of that treatment, at what point did you ever perform any re-examinations of this personal injury case?
I can't recall that I did. On the date that he was discharged, I hadn't discharged him personally. There was some follow-up phone calls afterwards that he had requested to be discharged as of that last particular date of service for the car accident. There wasn't time during that time to do one, so I don't have one.
Okay, so it's safe to say that during the course of this patient's treatment plan for a personal injury, you did not perform a physical examination at any time?
Correct.
And no outcome assessments were performed?
Other than asking a percentage of improvement that the patient gave verbally, that was it.
Okay. Your treatment plan starts out with treatment frequency of PRN. It kind of changes throughout the course of the care. It looks like there was marginal patient compliance. Where in the record, or what was your treatment plan, and what was your clinical rationale? I mean, what were your treatment goals, and what were your treatment plan, and where is that documentation?
I don't have a treatment plan. My goal was to get him back to pre-accident status, and the patient walked in like he had normally done. There was no limp. There was no indication that he was in any other pain or discomfort than I had previously treated him for. So it was just more of, you know, the thing that was just lingering was still a rib fracture and some upper back and low back pain that we had done before. So getting him back to just pre-accident status, which a lot of times it's just in communication with patients in terms of you telling me where you feel as though you reached that standpoint based off of how you felt before and after the accident. So I don't have a second separate documentation for form.
Okay,
I can easily create one, but I don't have.
All right, so none of what you just described is actually in the treatment record. Would you agree?
I agree.
Okay. The term radicular tingling, what does that mean?
Say again?
You use the term repeatedly, radicular tingling.
That's what the patient stated.
Your patient said to you that they had radicular tingling?
Correct.
Okay. So...
On what date of service do you see that, if I can ask?
I see it on 5:30, 6:06, 6:13, 6:20, 6:27, 10:11. It's really present in virtually 75% of your treatment records.
That's how the patient described their discomfort, is that it was radicular tingling, and it wasn't necessarily pain, but it was tingling, that they described it as something was just crawling on their arm. It was tingling.
Okay. So you were quoting patient there. You're not as a physician reporting a medical term.
Correct.
Okay. And you at some point during the course of care, and I'm going to see where it is here in a moment. Yeah, on 6:13, after a number of treatments, about 6 or 7, it looks like, maybe 8, you added a diagnosis of cervical radiculitis. How did you determine that addition to the diagnosis should have been made?
Well, that determination came from when I was entering my SOAP note in discussion with the patient on potentially needing an MRI, to see what's going on. My software program had done the update from ICD-9 codes to ICD-10 codes. So in all of my keystrokes that the software had updated, those are all accurate into ICD-10 codes. What I pre-programmed that I had done 10 plus years ago, not all of the diagnosis codes were updated. I had to manually go in and change that. So I knew that if I put this here, my thought process is it's not radiculitis, it's radiculopathy, given how conversations with the patient, that when I would go back and proofread it to send it out, that I know that I'm going to change this to a radiculopathy and not radiculitis, because that was not the case. But when I submitted these records, I was nervous, anxious. I had never had a complaint and didn't proofread it with a fine-tooth comb by the time I had sent it. You know, going back in preparation for the October meeting, I saw it, and I'm like, well, that's not accurate. I know that this isn't it. It was a radiculopathy, which is not indicated on the notes that you have in front of you.
Okay, so you were kind of outside your comfort zone here and stressed and so forth. But the point really that's important here is that whether it's radiculopathy or it's radiculitis, that is a reasonably serious diagnosis. Would you not agree?
Yes.
Okay, and there was no exam. There was no clinical justification for that change in diagnosis other than a persisting report from the patient saying radicular tingling.
Correct.
Just one thing I want to question. There's more, but I think we've made the point. On the records, billing records of 522, you billed for therapeutic exercise. Is there some reason no mention of that in the SOAP note at all?
on 5/22. It is not in the plan. That is not there.
Yeah, I think that occurs in two occasions. And if we're going to bill for therapeutic exercises, and I would defer to Angela for her expertise in this area, but it would appear that billing for therapeutic exercise, there are certain levels of documentation that pertain to what was done, what body region, and so forth. And I think you would probably agree that those were not present in the record. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so, as I recall from our initial encounter, did we not discuss the fact that you had dealt with record-keeping issues in the past?
Yeah.
Have you not ever had any correction with regard to record-keeping issues?
That is correct. I have not.
Okay. All right. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman, but I do feel as though we need to address this issue.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Bennett. Board members, any further questions for Dr. Hogue?
I have no questions.
Okay. Dr. Bennett, do you have anything you'd like to make?
I would recommend that we take no action with regard to the initial complaint, but that we issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter of concern and stipulate that this patient, that this doctor get involved with at least 12 hours of continuing education on case management and record keeping.
Okay, so a non-disciplinary advisory of concern for specifically record keeping
case management issues,
and then you're recommending a continuing education of how many hours? And
12 hours.
In what categories?
In record keeping and clinical case management with an emphasis on personal injury.
Okay. And to be completed, time frame?
6 months.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second the motion.
Okay. Further discussion?
For clarification purposes, is that 12 credit hours for record keeping and 12 credit hours for clinical case management?
No, that's not my intent. A total of 12 hours cumulatively relative to all of the topics.
Okay.
Could we get that a little more specific? You know, do you want an emphasis like 8 hours on the personal injury and 4 on record keeping, or is it record keeping pertaining to PI and then it would all be enclosed?
Gosh, Angela, I'd like your input on that.
Yes, thank you. I think that doctors should take at least 4 hours of record keeping and documentation, and that will bring forth some of the case management that I know you want to have. So if you pour record keeping documentation, and then the other 8 hours, case management, and reform in the PI, or four, 12 hour total. So at least 4 in record keeping documentation, case management, at least 4, and Dr. Bennett, however you want to do the last 4, with emphasis on PI, but it's up to you.
Yeah, that sounds like 4, 4, and 4 sounds good to me. I think that's reasonable. But my concerns are threefold: general clinical decision making, personal injury awareness, and case management and documentation. So I think 4, 4, and 4 is appropriate.
Thank you for the clarification.
So this is Dr. Guarino. Is there really such a thing as personal injury awareness, or would it be more traumatic injury management, or for something specific to PI?
That's very clinical relative to trauma care. That's good.
Okay. Okay, so we have a first and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the ayes have it. Dr. Hogan, you will be contacted by the board with the decision made today. If you have any questions for them, you can call staff at a later time. And thank you for joining. We're going to move on to our next tab, which is tab number 6, under the topic of whether to open for Dr. Mark Tennant.
Dr. Tennant, are you online? Dr. Tennant, if you are online, we cannot hear you.
Okay, and he's not required to be online for a whether to open tab, so maybe he's not online.
Correct. So Dr. Tennant wrote yes to question 18 on his application for licensure and wrote C attachment and no, which is kind of contradictory to question 17 on his 2020 renewal form. And he's currently the subject of a petition by the Kansas State Board of Healing Arts.
Okay. So we are at.
Good morning, members of the board. Hi, this is Cody Hall. I'm counsel for Dr. Tennant. I just figured out how to unmute on the telephone.
Oh, great.
I apologize. I had to hit star 6. I did not know that until just now. So.
Okay, you have an opening. What would you like to say regarding this?
Thank you. I appreciate that. My apologies. Again, members of the board, my name is Cody Hall. I'm counsel for Dr. Tennant here in Arizona. I'm a partner with the law firm of Brunan Erwig Woodson Wilson. Dr. Tennant submitted his renewal for his chiropractic license in Arizona on December 12th, 2019. As it was just mentioned, he did respond to question 18 to inform the Arizona board that his license is under investigation by another licensing board. He explained in an attachment, I believe, that was submitted with the renewal application, that the Kansas State Board of Healing Arts is currently investigating some potential statutory and regulatory concerns about violations with charting. Dr. Tennant has denied these allegations of unprofessional conduct. As of right now, this matter is still pending before the Kansas Board. The Kansas Board has not issued any disciplinary action and has not made any findings of unprofessional conduct or taken any other form of disciplinary action against his license. His license in Kansas remains in full effect with no limitations or restrictions on his ability to practice. Thus, there is no basis at this time to open a complaint in Arizona. On behalf of Dr. Tennant, I would request the board not to open a complaint because it would be premature and quite possibly unnecessary depending upon the outcome of the Kansas investigation. And I spoke with my Kansas co-counsel earlier this morning to confirm when they submitted the report, or the written report with the application, it was noted that a hearing on the petition had been scheduled in May of 2020. We have just learned that that meeting, or that the hearing, has been continued indefinitely because we all live in the time of COVID-19 and it has not been rescheduled yet. So again, I would just renew my request that the Arizona board not open a complaint at this time because it would be premature. Thank you.
Thank you. Board members, do you have any questions for Mr. Hall?
I have one question, Dr. Greeno. Was the issue in Kansas mostly about record keeping and documentation as opposed to breaching the standard of care?
Angela, you may have to repeat that and get closer to your microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry. The complaint for the pending petition, does it deal primarily with record keeping and documentation issues, or is there a breach in standard of, allegedly a breach in standard of care? What is it left with?
My understanding is that the petition that is currently being investigated in Kansas does allege patient care and standard of care issues in addition to charting.
Right. I guess I was just wondering if there was emphasis in either of those more so on standards there. It is in my mind. I'm trying to.
Mr. Holt.
Okay.
Mr. Holt, do you want me to answer that?
If you can, I didn't hear that question very well, and you're probably better suited for it, Ms. Shepard. Please do.
Ms. Shepard.
I am local counsel for Dr. Tennant in Kansas, and I am the one representing him with regard to this Kansas Board of Healing Arts matter. And we have retained, of course, Mr. Hall.
I don't think that we can take any testimony if you are not licensed in Arizona. Mr. Hall, are you licensed in Arizona?
Yes, I'm a partner with the law firm of Browning, Irwin, Goodwood, and Wilson. I've been practicing here for 30 years.
Okay, is that correct, Ms. Williams, our counsel, that we should not be taking testimony from someone who is not licensed in Arizona?
Yes, you're correct. I didn't know if she, was there any Pro Hoc Vitae admission, Mr. Hall, or Ms. Shepard?
No, we did not do a Pro Hoc Vitae because the last time they were before the board, she was instructed that she could not talk to the board as the Kansas counsel, so that's why they retained me as a local counsel. I can't give it, my knowledge of the underlying complaint in Kansas is quite limited, actually, because limiting my scope of what's going on here, so...
Yes, and Dr. Garrido, members of the board, you have a copy of the Kansas petition that lays out all of the factual allegations and violations.
No, I'm aware. I just information
sometimes. So it looks like it's, let me just look at it real quick. There's several alleged violations, dishonorable conduct, professional incompetency, failure to adhere to standard of care, conduct likely to harm the public, fraud, deceit, misrepresentation, billing issues. Again, those are just as they are in the complaint. Nothing's been established.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Dr. Beck.
My understanding of this is not whether we are initiating a complaint or not. It is whether we are approving an application for licensure. Am I mistaken in this matter?
It is for the 2020 renewal. He was active prior.
Is he licensed?
He is licensed, and this was his 2020 renewal that had some disclosures on it.
But okay. Did he get renewed, Dr. Kolesch? It's Mary.
It's,
or is it pending?
It's kind of pending this, but his application was complete, but it had these disclosures. So that's the reason for coming before the board.
Okay, and it's all, Dr. Bennett and Dr. Carino, it's only on your agenda for deciding whether to open an investigation. It isn't on for any issues related to whether or not to grant his renewal.
Yeah, the renewal was granted because it was complete.
Oh, it was granted. Okay.
Okay, so our options are to open up a complaint or not. If we choose not to, and the Kansas board takes action, we'll be notified and we'll deal with it on a later date. Or we can open a complaint and keep track of it that way. And so what's your pleasure? Would someone like to make a motion?
I'm making a motion not to open a complaint at this time.
Okay, so that would be to take no action.
Make the motion to take no action at this time.
Okay. I'll second.
There's a second. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Hearing none, the ayes have it, and we have chosen to take no action at this time. Thank you for joining by phone. We will move on to tab number 7 now, which is the matter of Dr. Raymond Malazzo. The licensure.
Dr. Malazzo, are you on?
I'm on.
Okay.
Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Dr. Malazzo has applied for licensure by endorsement. His application is complete. He disclosed that he previously held a license in Arizona, which he allowed to lapse.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Malazzo. Can you,
Hello.
Do you have anything you'd like to say?
It's been a long time. But I did have a license in Arizona as a newbie, coming out of school in 1981, and never practiced there, but looking like maybe getting out of the Northeast in the future, so I'd like that option open again.
Okay, and board members, do you have questions for Dr. Malazzo?
I have questions.
Dr. Malazzo, or just Dr. Bennett, are you currently currently in practice? Have you been in practice consistently over the last few years?
Oh yeah, I was working this morning. You got me with that Arizona time. I signed on at an hour ago.
No further questions.
Okay, someone like to make a motion to grant licensure based on endorsement.
This is Dr. Knopf. Will make the motion to grant licensure.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Welcome to Arizona. The ayes have it, and you will be granted licensure.
Oh, thank you very much. Looking forward to the fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
We regret that.
We move on to tab number 8 now in a matter of Dr. Todd Kersey for licensure.
I see Dr. Kersey, are you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there, man. Dr. Kersey entered, has applied for licensure by reciprocity and his application is complete. Dr. Kersey answered no to question 32, which is, in this or any other jurisdiction, has any formal sanction ever been taken against your license? Or have you ever surrendered a license? However, he added a note, and the note is included in your packet. So that is for your discussion.
Hi, Dr. Kurz.
Hi.
Say anything at this point?
If you want clarification on what happened, I can answer any questions on it was a malpractice suit that was fraudulent in nature, but I decided to settle because they were going to go after all the other chiropractors and neurologists that came over to the clinic where the guy couldn't move, and it was a tough experience, but I didn't have millions of dollars to fight it, and I decided to settle because the insurance company that I worked with in the past would not help me, so I was kind of on my own, so we settled, and I would have never done that.
So was it fraudulent nature, just for clarification on your part?
No, it wasn't fraudulent. They sued me because I did not get him out of the office fast enough. A guy came into the office, couldn't wait to get in. He was banging on the door early, and we let him in, and he said he came in with diffusivity. He was a patient that was from North Carolina. He was referred by another chiropractor, and he came up to Alaska to throw bags for a tour company. He was riding four-wheelers. He was obese. He has diffuse idiopathic skeletal hyperostosis. He was diabetic, and he came in and he shook his head back and forth and said, "I don't know what you did last time," which was the previous months before that. And he said, "But I feel great." And I thought, well, something's weird here. And so just a little bit of SI movement on the side posture because, of course, it's the nature of his spine. Put him on the high-low and did a couple light drops on the SI joint, a little drop in the lower thoracic, raised him up, and he kind of slides down the table and lays on the floor. I'm thinking, well, he must be trying to joke around. You know, this guy thought he was going to be a little funny. And I said, "What's going on?" He says, "Well, I can't move anywhere." And I said, "Well, I said, can you feel this? Can you feel this? Did you urinate? Did you defecate? Didn't have loss of speech?" And I said, "No, I can feel that." And then he moves his arms in the air. He says, "Well, I can move my arms, but I just don't know where they are." I said, "Well, John," I said, "let me call an ambulance." "No, no, 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 no. I'm an ex-firefighter or an ex-police officer. I don't want you to call the ambulance. And so we sat him up. We sat him there, and I called his girlfriend and told him what was going on. And she said, well, he might be low in blood sugar because he's diabetic. And I said, well, let me get him out of here. And he's refusing to leave. And so after a few hours of him sitting there just not having a problem, but just said he couldn't walk, finally got him out of the office. And took him over to the hospital. They had a C3 cord compression of some sort. I'm not really sure. They never went into detail. They didn't do anything for him for like 27 days because there was nothing to do. But they sued me for not getting him out of the office fast enough, even though there was no emergent situation and nothing ended up happening to him. So it was an interesting lawsuit, and the insurance company would not fight for me, and I couldn't do anything about fighting without any super big funds. So that's what I got sued for, not getting him out of the office fast enough. But it wasn't.
That was back in 2001?
Yes.
Okay, have you had any problems like that since then?
No, sir. I've been president of the Alaska Chiropractic Society for the last 8 years. I'm well involved in the chiropractic profession, and we have a fantastic relationship with all other things going on. So there's no problems at all.
Okay. Thank you, board members. Do you have any questions for Dr. Kersey?
No questions.
Dr. Kersey, Dr. Bennett, what are your plans in practicing in Arizona?
My wife and children decided that they had enough of Alaska, so they moved down to Arizona for the school year, and they come back in the summer. But when I go down there, Cairo Secure suggested I get a license down there, even if I'm adjusting my family down there. So I don't really have any plans right now. I have a nice practice here in Alaska, and after 25 years of practice, I don't really want to start up again, but I would like to be licensed down there in case I do retire down there and start a practice. But even adjusting family or if I've friends down there, I don't want to have any problems and to have any non-licensed stuff going on. I really want to make sure I'm legal everywhere. I do practice by the law, and I am a very compliant person. I'm not someone who would do something like that.
Sounds like we need a chiropractic compact. Okay, I have no further questions.
Great.
I'll make a motion to grant licensure.
Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, you will be granted licensure. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
That is tab number 9 regarding Dr. Kolarik for licensure.
Dr. Kolarik, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Karen Kolarik has applied for licensure by reciprocity. Her application is complete. She disclosed that the Massachusetts Board imposed a disciplinary act against her for a CE violation. And so this is for your discussion.
Hi, Dr. Kolarik.
Hello.
Anything you'd like to say at this point?
No, just that I'm really looking forward to coming to Arizona.
Okay, board members, do you have any questions for the doctor?
Dr. Kolarik, it looks like the issue was back in 2009. No other issues since then?
No, and it actually was a class I took from Active Release Technique, and it was not approved by Massachusetts. I thought it was, and it wasn't, so I took another class.
Okay. I'll make a motion to grant licensure.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries. Welcome to Arizona, Dr. Kolarik.
Woohoo! Thank you very much.
Welcome. Okay, the next order of business is set number 10, where we review your board meeting schedule.
Yes, so board members, we do have a bit of a backlog of cases to be heard because of the short meetings in the recent past. So I'm just reaching out to hear what your thoughts are about when we can start having meetings in person again, whether you want to have lengthy meetings, double up meetings, you know, a couple of meetings a month. I want to know if you have constraints on your schedules during the summer and late summer time frames. things along that line. I wasn't expecting to draft the calendar today, but rather get your input and constraints.
Well, I would like to say that rather than more meetings, I would like to skip longer and get things done. We build in a little lunch. Like when I first joined the board, we would kind of break for a half hour or 45 minute lunch at some point and then get back to work for another couple hours and stuff. Dr. Bennett gave me a thumbs up. I saw a nod from Dr. Knopf. What are your suggestions?
I agree with you.
Okay, so we will build in a packed schedule as circumstances allow and keep the schedule. That's what I hear. Okay. Thank you. Just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page for that. The last issue. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The governor released the executive order 17 that had to do with the variations in licensure. We have encountered several problems and questions about what's going on with the mostly timing of applications and other issues that have time constraints on them due to the lack of being able to get some of those things done under the current circumstances. Those include chiropractic assistants getting their CPR certifications, some difficulties getting original source documentation from licensing boards because they're closed and there's nobody in their offices. People attending the continuing education courses that they had planned on and have been perhaps canceled, and whether or not the board would allow extensions going on into next year if that were an option. Also, new licensees making their a 3-hour requirement here. Personally, I have suggested that they wait until we're back in session so that they get that entire 3 hours in one sitting as the statute asks for. So those types of questions, and what I would do is, with your permission, bring those specific things and other ones to the attention of the governor's office and allow for extensions based on their guidance.
Sounds reasonable to me. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. Number one, I feel like we're probably not alone in this rowboat. I think that probably there are a lot of other boards and commissions who are dealing with the same issues. We should be looking to what solutions they're pursuing as well. Second thing is I'll just share my bias on this. I am not inclined to do some broad sweeping extension that applies to everybody. I would much rather, as a board member, make it known that if someone has extenuating circumstances and can document those extenuating circumstances, that under specific categories we are open to appeal. Otherwise, we just open the door and everybody flocks to the back end, and I just don't think that that's the way to go. I'm done.
We do answer questions on a individual basis because everybody's circumstances are different. And I have one particular that I would like to bring to your attention. It's a husband and wife. They have applied for licensure, and except for that original source documentation for one of them, the wife's original source documentation from Hawaii came through to us, and her application is complete and ready for me to approve. But her husband's, which was sent at the same time, according to their board staff, who we were able to contact, but they do not have access to their office. And so we can go to the website and get a non-original source documentation of his credential, and but we typically require an original source. So that's one that is, for whatever reason, we didn't get his, and they claimed it was sent at the same time, and I hate to put a couple like that in an uncomfortable position. And so if you're comfortable with me inquiring with the governor's office about the non-original source, that will be one of my priorities.
Okay.
And that's okay with everyone? Good. All right.
And I guess I've got a little confusion. Are they looking for guidance from us to provide them on processes and procedures for this, or are we looking to them to provide that?
I'm looking to the governor's office because we don't have the original source with the seal of Hawaii on the transcript for or their license.
Okay. Got it. So we're going to them. Okay.
And so when
and then we would have been recalcitrant in getting that official seal. That's our downside.
Yeah, but as soon as Hawaii is able to get back into their offices, we can get it again and do it and get the file completed. But do I grant licensure in the meantime, which is what I would prefer to do? But it is a question of interpretation by the governor's office.
Doesn't seem like there's any reason really not to grant the license if we're going to get the original eventually.
Right, but
yeah, and that was my thought. If we do grant it, just it's contingent on the original coming at some point.
Right.
Exactly. And along with things like extending the past a year for new licensees to get their 3 hours at a board meeting. Some of those people are coming up on that and are nervous about it. Some CA courses are not meeting, and so they're passing their year getting that. Those types of individual cases is what we're looking at.
Okay. Very good.
And so what I'll do is I'll reach out to the governor's office, and then I will just report back to you.
Okay. At this time, I will call to the public, which I don't believe there is any, and I will entertain a final motion.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second motion.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Ayes have it. Thank you for everybody getting dressed up with nowhere to go. We'll see you next time.
Have a good day. Be well.